Move cautious, and we'll go over the side. The boats are in the water, ready. Two men can manage them. Pull for the shore, eh? Never find us in the fog out yonder. Come on.
Something was wrong. Ryan's fighting sense told him that. Ned and Walsh were both scared of the blaster. Yehu didn't seem as if he'd even noticed it. But Pira Quad acted as though it weren't even there. She was either mad or... The woman picked up her own blaster from the bureau under the stern window, keeping it pointed at the deck. Flynn leveled his gun at her face.
I'll kill thee!
She smiled.
Not with an empty blaster, Cully. Try it.
She walked toward him, lifting her own, much larger pistol. Ryan hissed between his teeth. That was it. She'd known all along there was no danger. Quad stood right against the quivering man.
Open thy mouth, Cully. Open it now.
The cut-down twin muzzle of Ned's scattergun pressed hard into Ryan's back, keeping him from interfering. Flynn turned his eyes to Ryan, tears gathering in the swollen corners, trickling down his stubbled cheeks. The useless, empty blaster was still in his hand.
I'm sorry, Johnny. Real sorry. Thanks for trying.
The captain rammed the short barrel of the handgun between Flynn's gums, making him gag.
Yeah, thanks from me, too. Been meaning to rid the ship of thee for some time, Cully. And this'll give me a special taste for the main course of my meal, will it not?
The word finally came, carried in whispers along the deck of the Phoenix.
She's there.
JB had relayed his orders to Deacon and his red-sweatered crew.
Our fight, not yours. Lay alongside and hold there. That's all. We'll go in. We want the woman and to free our friends. But I guess it'll mean breaking a few heads. If all goes well, she'll be ours within 15 minutes.
He turned to Deacon.
Got your word not to cut free and run?
Thou hast my word.
Then let's do it. Jack, you and Christy with me to the stern, the back. Find the woman. Watch out for Donful and Ryan. Lori and Doc, take the front. Chill anyone who even looks like resisting. Get to it now.
Deacon had persuaded him not to try to hold the Salvation, pointing out there was little point in scuttling such a valuable vessel. Now the five champions stole out onto the damp deck, blasters cocked and ready, seeing for the first time the spectral masts of their prey, only feet away from them. In the enveloping stillness, they all heard the sudden, unmistakable noise of a blaster. A large chunk of bone was raised from the crown of Johnny Flynn's skull, as a gentleman would lift his hat to a lady. A brief eruption of blood and brains came puffing out through the crack, leaking down across his forehead and the pale skin of the seaman's face. Pira Quad held Johnny upright, gripped by the throat. The small pistol dropped from the dead man's fingers, rattling on the floor. Pira Quad smiled broadly and removed her pistol from Flynn's mouth, tugging it from where he'd clamped his jaws on it, in a dying spasm of pain and shock. She released him, and the corpse clattered to the deck, twitching. She pushed at it with her foot, her smile now directed at Ryan.
We'll have this removed and tossed over the side, I think. Unless we leave it here to spice our pleasure. What thinkest thou, Outlander Carter?
Ryan thought that the pressure of the shotgun had eased a little, but still not enough for him to make the play that his life would totally depend on. The Salvation shuddered gently, as if some great undersea creature had scraped itself beneath her keel. The captain turned immediately, sensitive to every shift and movement of her beloved vessel.
What was...
Now they could hear feet pattering on the deck, and other sounds. The captain swung around to face Ryan, her ornate finery rustling. Her heavy features were convulsed with an almost insensate anger, and a worm of spittle inched down her chin.
By all the gods! Thou bastard! Bastard! We are done!
Walsh was heading for the door, but his boots slipped in the spreading puddle of Johnny Flynn's blood, sending him careening sideways. He clutched at the arm of Ned, who held the scattergun, finger on the slim trigger. The jolting shock was all that it took. Ned had been half-turning, eager to get out of the confines of the cabin and onto the deck. Walsh had been less than a foot away from him. At that range, the double shock of the 10-gauge lifted him clear off his feet and threw him across the cabin, where he knocked into Quad, sending her tumbling backward. Her pistol rattled into the corner beneath the long stern window. The second mate thrashed on the floor, his blood and guts adding to Flynn's. The entrance hole in Walsh's stomach was smaller than the fist of a woman, but the buckshot had ripped him apart, the exit wound large enough to hold an iron bucket. Fragments of splintered bone were embedded in the far wall, along with clotted pellets of distorted lead. Ned staggered, holding the empty smoking blaster, his face slack with shock. Yehu had fallen to his knees in the slippery scarlet lake, still gripping the belaying pin. Ryan could see no sign of Walsh's battered Glock. The floor was so deep in blood that the blaster could have fallen anywhere. Above his head, he could hear yelling and more blasters going off. He hadn't the least doubt that a rescue party had emerged from out of the fog. Pyrrha Quad was struggling to rise, reaching for her gun. Ned was between Ryan and the door. Ryan tried for the razor with his left hand, missing at first grab. Ned punched him across the top of the leg, numbing the muscle, then grappled with him. Ryan's right hand, flat on the cluttered tabletop, brushed against the hypodermic syringe. He grabbed it in desperation and drove it without a moment's hesitation into the man's right eye. Ned let go of him, put a hand to his own blinded eye. It gave Ryan the chance to pick up the open razor and slash it against the sailor's exposed throat. He fell away from Ryan onto the bed, patterning the pale sheets with gouts of arterial red.
Bastard!
The woman was still unable to get up, her dress now sodden with blood. For a moment, her fingertips had the butt of the Astra. Then it slithered away from her. Without a way of getting his hands on another weapon, Ryan decided to join his friends on deck. Yehu had other ideas. He shuffled on his knees to block off Ryan's exit.
Outlanders must all perish!
Fire blast.
Ryan still held the blood-slick razor in his right hand, aware that the captain might snatch up her fallen blaster at any moment. The madman Yehu clawed toward the Outlander.
Repent! Repent!
Get out of the bastard way!
Nay, for I know the world, and the world...
In mid-sentence, Yehu grabbed suddenly at the razor, nearly catching Ryan off guard. The crazy's fingers actually closed around the steel blade. Ryan, holding the handle, jerked it back. Out of the corner of Ryan's eye, he saw Pyrrha Quad finally get hold of her blaster, fumbling with hands made slippery by blood. Now Ryan was at the door, pulling at the handle, his own fingers slick with hot crimson, knowing that he could expect a .44 round between the shoulders at any second. Yehu was dancing, boots slopping on the deck, trying to hold his cut hand to his chest, yet wanting to attack Ryan at the same time.
Get out the poxing way!
Hurt me as he's hurt me!
At last, after an eternity of sluggish seconds, the handle turned, and Ryan faced the corridor in the companionway that led to the deck. He caught the sound of Doc Tanner's voice, and the echoing boom of the Big Lamar. He felt someone clawing at him from behind. Nails tore at his jacket, holding him helpless in the doorway. Ryan tried to reach around with the razor and cut at the sailor's face, but the constricting space trapped him.
Let me go!
Ryan felt Yehu thrust hard against him, propel him into the corridor. The door slammed shut behind them.
Done me.
The seaman slipped to his knees, like a lad at his first communion, hands clasped in front of him. Blood dripped steadily from his hands and mouth. As he toppled at Ryan's feet, the dark hole in the back of Yehu's sweater showed where Pyrrha Quad's bullet had hit. Ryan dodged toward the steps, and three chunks of white splintered oak flew across the passage. He glanced to his rear, seeing the absurdly tiny head of Yehu.
Done me, she has.
It wasn't a time to hesitate.
Oh,